As you remain standing to chapter 30 of the first book of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I'm glad you're in the house of the Lord tonight. First Samuel chapter 30, and everybody say amen when you get there. We're going to read a couple of verses before we get into it. But I just want to thank God this evening for my salvation. Thank my pastor, Pastor Danny, Sister Barbara, for this opportunity to minister the word of God and share the message that God has placed in my heart before you. Amen. Amor, Pastor Danny, Sister Barbara. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there from small to great, and did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Some of your Bibles say David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and his 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook, and where those stayed who were left behind. Go ahead and be seated this evening. I want to share a story with you this evening that I've only shared it with one other person since it happened about 2 years ago. 2 years ago, right around Thanksgiving time, I was in the home and I had just started working. I was doing training with a company that I'm currently working with there in downtown on 5th and Marquette at the Compass Bank building. And it was the day after Thanksgiving. And if you remember 2 years ago, the day after Thanksgiving was an unseasonably cold day. The temperature, I think, that day only got into the low 20s. It was very windy, and it was really cold. What complicated things for me is that I didn't have a car. So I was dependent on mass transportation or the bus system to get to work. Well, on holidays, the buses don't run as regularly as they do on a normal day. They have what they call an abbreviated schedule. So that day, I ended up getting late to training. I was already bummed out because I had to take the bus to work, and it was really cold. And to complicate things, during lunch, I usually used to walk to the subway that's there on 5th and Lomas. So I made the journey, which was about 3 blocks from the building that we were in, to the subway that was on 5th and Lomas. And after braving the cold for 3 blocks, I found out that it was closed. So I didn't get myself something to eat. And how many know that if you don't eat, you get a little bit upset? So I spent the whole day feeding myself out of at the mercy of the vending machine that was on the first floor, eating all kinds of potato chips and other things that I think would fill me up. But as the day progressed, I started getting more and more irritated. I started getting more and more discouraged. I started wondering why I was doing what I was doing. And at the end of the day, when everybody started to gather their things to leave and I knew everybody was going to get on their car, I realized that my regular bus stop wasn't running, and I had to walk almost half a mile to the nearest bus stop that would get me to my destination. So I'm preparing myself at the end of the day. I'm putting on my jacket, and I put on my beanie, and I walk outside, and I'm starting to put on my gloves. And this guy rides up on a 10-speed bike in a t-shirt. It's about 20 degrees outside. It's already dark. The wind is blowing, and it's really cold. And he stops his bike, like, from here to where that back door is. And he starts laughing at me. And he starts pointing at me. And I felt the presence of evil surround me as he was doing that. And as I'm putting on my gloves, he starts to mock me and mimic the way that I'm putting on my gloves. And that was the last straw. Once you start mocking me, and once you start making fun of me, and I've had the worst day in a very long time. So I started running after him. I had convinced myself that I could catch him. But as I'm running, I'm thinking to myself, what are you going to do if you catch him? Are you going to pray the devil out of him, or are you going to beat the devil out of him? I said to myself, I'll decide that when I catch him. Just being honest. But as I'm running, and I don't want to say if I'm about to catch him or not about to catch him, but I'm running, and something stops me in my tracks. And I hear that quiet, still, small voice that tells me, Mark, what are you doing? So I have a conversation where I start arguing with God. Don't look at me like none of you have ever done that before. I start arguing with God, and I'm saying, God, why do I have to go through this? Why me? Why is this happening? Why do I have to go through this inconvenience? Why do things, why are they getting harder instead of easier? I feel like giving up, God. I don't feel like I can go on any further, God. This is too much for me to bear. I didn't sign up for this, God. Why can't it be easy for me? Why do I have to struggle so much? Why do things have to be so hard all the time, God? And I heard that still, small voice come upon my life, and he said what he told me so many times before. Trust me. Just trust me. So after that whole episode, I walked to the bus stop, and I got back to the men's home, and I got before the Lord, and I prayed, and I repented before God, and I said, God, I'm sorry that I was acting a fool. I had a bad day, and somehow I thought that things should be different for me, but if this is the path that you have chosen, God, that I'm going to stick it out and continue to go forward, because I know that you have a plan and you have a purpose for my life. Immediately, the Lord brought me to this passage of Scripture, because David and his men were away from their families. And the Bible says that where they were away from their families, an invading army came, burned down their city, and took them all captive. So when they came back to the city that they were in, instead of having a homecoming with all their loved ones surrounding them and greeting them, there was nothing. The city had been burned down, and they didn't know if their family members were dead or alive or where they had been taken away to. And the Bible says that they were all distressed. They all started crying. And the way that they cried was so severe that all their strength left them. They cried until they couldn't cry anymore. And David, along with his men, was just as much distressed because his wives and his children had also been taken captive. And what do you do in a situation like that? You see, up to this point, David had killed the giant, like Pastor Danny mentioned earlier. He had successfully evaded Saul's army. He had raised up an army in the cave of Adullam. Even in the hardship of his life, he had enjoyed a measure of success. He had always been victorious. But all of a sudden, he finds himself in a place where he had never been before. Because the enemy that David is facing in this passage of Scripture is not the enemy that comes from without. It wasn't a giant. It wasn't the armies of the Philistines. It wasn't Saul or his army that was chasing him down. The enemy that David was facing now was the enemy within, the one of discouragement, the one of despair, the one that wants to make us give up. You see, many times it's easy for us to face the battles that we face without on the outside of us. We can overcome temptation. We can overcome hardship. We can overcome when things come against us, even when people come against us. But what about when you find yourself in a place where you're discouraged on the inside, where you don't want to serve God anymore, where you don't want to wake up in the morning anymore, you don't want to do the things that you're doing anymore. You've lost your vision. You've lost your confidence. You've lost your passion, and you don't know what to do because you come to church, but we're just going through the motions. You see, David found himself in a very unique situation in his life. He was fighting an enemy from within. So what do you do? What do you do when at the beginning of the year you make a resolution that you're going to serve God in 2017? This is going to be my year. These are all the things that I'm going to accomplish. But come June or July, you reevaluate your life, and all of a sudden you don't have the same enthusiasm that you had at the beginning of the year. You don't have the same commitment that you had at the beginning of the year. You don't have the same dedication. All of a sudden you're not all sold out for Jesus anymore. You're nitpicking, backbiting, and murmuring about everybody and their grandmother because things aren't going the way you want them to go. All of a sudden, you're looking at everybody except yourself, and we're blaming other people on why we can't serve God. That's what the people, David's followers, I look at David's followers, I go, what's the matter with these guys? Have they forgotten where they came from? These were the same men that didn't have anywhere to go. They were distressed. They were running from the law. They were debtors. They owed money that they couldn't pay. And they ran to David in the cave. David worked with them. He built them up. He encouraged them. He gave them a purpose for living. He made them into a mighty army. And all of a sudden, one thing goes wrong and they want to kill him. All of a sudden, your leader makes one mistake and you forget everything they've already done for you. All of a sudden, your leader doesn't do the things that you think they're supposed to do, and you want to stone him. You want to gather with the other people in the church that talk bad about them. You want to gather with people that have left the church that talk bad about the leaders because we forget everything that they've already done for us. David gave them a purpose. I thank God for the ministry of Victory Outreach this evening because it is a ministry that has given people like us a purpose. Where before we didn't know what we were going to do with our lives. We were hopeless, without direction, with nowhere to go and nothing to do. But thank God for the ministry of Victory Outreach that can use drug addicts, gang members, prostitutes, and lift them up to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. How dare we forget what God has done for us? When things start getting hard and things aren't working out the way that we want them, how dare we forget that when I was hurting and nobody wanted me around, there was a men's home at 905 Atrisco that said, Mark, you can come in. You can change your life. You don't have to be that dope fiend that you are anymore. And there was a church that welcomed me in. I still remember that day, thank God, that I called Pastor Danny on February the 1st, 3 years ago. I said, Pastor, my life is broken. I can't fix it. Please help me. He said, I'm in your corner. Come into the home. God's going to work it out for you. And 3 years later, I can thank God for that because everything that my pastor told me was going to happen, happened. And I can testify now that God is a merciful, loving God, a God of a second chance. God is able to transform a person's life no matter what you did or how many times you did it. God is able to change your life. You see, the Bible says that they wanted to stone David. And David all of a sudden has to battle something within himself. So what does he do? He goes back to the only thing that he knows. He inquires of the Lord. He said, I don't know what to do in a situation like this. I've never faced it. There's no manual. There's no book that I can read that'll get me out of this situation. What am I going to do? I need to go back to what I know that works, and that's prayer. That's getting a hold of God, because God has done it for me before, and I know that He can do it again. You see, when we come to those points in our lives where we feel like giving up because things haven't worked out the way that we wanted, when we come to those places where we feel discouraged and we don't have any more passion and we're just going through the motions and we don't have that desire to do the things that we wanted to do, what we need to do is we need to get back to what works. We need to get back to what brought us this far so far already. We need to get back to prayer. Like Friday night. Like Friday night when we have prayer in this church. We need to go back to the things that brought us here, like prayer, reading our Bibles, coming to church, fasting, getting a hold of the things of God. Those are the things we need to get back to doing. You see, the other thing that I found very interesting in this passage of Scripture was when David is looking for a way out of this, he goes back to the Lord in prayer, but then he calls for Abiathar, the high priest. Interesting. I'll tell you why. Because sometime before this, the armies of Saul had come to Abiathar's hometown, which was a city of priests where they trained up priests. And Saul was looking for David. He got mad because he thought that they were hiding David in that city. So this one guy named Doeg, an Edomite, volunteered to kill all the priests. And Abiathar is a young man, and he's watching all these things happening. His family members are being killed before his eyes. All the people that he knows and that he loves are being killed. But he has the sense during that time to grab the ephod that was used to inquire of the Lord, and he ran from the city, and he found David. So David calls for Abiathar. Why? Because Abiathar had been through a similar situation before in his life. He knew what it was like to lose everybody that he loved. He knew what it was like to see madness in front of him and an enemy come in and wipe you completely out. So if there was anyone that could sympathize or empathize with David, it was Abiathar. So when he called for Abiathar, I can't help but think that he asked him, look, dude, you've been in a similar situation. How did you handle it? What did you do when you inquired of the Lord? What were the questions that you asked? I need some direction in my life. Can you please help me? You see, David inquired of the Lord, but he also inquired of other individuals that had been in a similar situation. He sought advice from those that had won similar battles. He sought advice from a man that had gone through the similar situation. And our church is full of men and women that have survived hardship and turmoil in their lives that are a resource for us to reach out and say, help me. You see, what these men did was not run away from God. They ran to God, and they ran to the people of God, because they knew that that's where they were going to find the hope that they needed to get through the toughest time in their life. You see, when we start going through hard times, or we feel like we're discouraged, or we feel like throwing in the towel, we lose the passion for ministry, it's not a time to go to the mall on Sunday mornings. It's not a time to take some time off from God. It's not a time to kick back and say, you know what, I can skip a couple of Wednesday nights. I got other things to do. When we've lost our passion, when we're feeling discouraged, when we feel like giving up, that's the time that we need to run to the house of God. We need to come to Wednesday night service. We need to come to the prayer service. We need to come to the Life Groups Unite, because it's not just for people that attend Life Groups. It's for everybody. And we need to be here every time the church doors open if you're going through something in your life, because this is where the change is going to take place. This is where the miracle is going to take place. This is where the life-changing events are going to take place, when you surround yourself with God and the people of God. He sought Abiathar for his direction, and they started to inquire of the Lord. He said, God, what should I do? And you know what God told him? He said, go after them. You're going to get back everything that you lost. So now David goes back and he encourages his troops. And he says, you know what? I just heard from God. It's going to be okay. We're going to go out there and we're going to get back everything that the devils took from us. We're going to go over there and we're going to get it. In the very next chapter, 31 of 1 Samuel, the Bible gives us a story of Saul and Jonathan falling to the hands of the Philistines. Saul and Jonathan, actually both of them, were the only thing or the only people that stood between David becoming the king of Israel. David wouldn't raise a hand against King Saul because in order to be a good leader, he knew he needed to be a good follower. Don't pray to be a good leader. Pray to be a good follower, because it is the good followers that become the best leaders. You see, sometimes we want to bypass that step. We say, oh God, make me a great leader. Well, you can't be a great leader until you've been a good follower. You work on being a good follower, God will make you a great leader. I threw that one in for free. But David encourages troops to go out, because in the very next chapter, Saul falls to the hand of the Philistines, and so does his son Jonathan. In the very next chapter, a chain of events starts that is going to catapult David from a fugitive to the king of Israel. What would have happened had David given up in chapter 30? What would have been written in chapter 31 had David not stood the test in chapter 30? We need to ask ourselves that very same question. What is our next chapter in our lives? Because what we do today is going to determine what the next chapter in our life is. That day when I was chasing up after that crazy guy, if I would have caught him, and I would have picked up a case, and I would have embarrassed myself in the ministry that I represented, and would have ended up back in jail, who knows where my life would have been today? Who knows what chapter of my life would have been written after that event? Who knows what would have happened to David had he given up and said, the heck with this. These people want to kill me. They took away my family. I ain't got my kids. I don't need this anymore. I'm walking away from God because this is too much for me to handle. He never would have been the king of Israel. You see, right now you might be facing a similar test in your life. And the way that you decide to go through it is going to determine the next chapter in your life. The way that you go through whatever it is that you're going through today is going to determine the outcome of your life tomorrow, next week, next month, and next year. You give up today, you give up this week, and who knows what will happen in the next chapter of your life. I just think that it's really interesting that the enemy came in to discourage David and his men right before this big event was going to happen. Like he almost knew it was going to happen. So I'm going to prevent it from happening in David's life because I'm going to discourage him where he gives up so that he never accomplishes the plan and the purpose that God has for his life. You see, there are a lot of big things that are coming up in our ministry. And the enemy would love to discourage us. The enemy would love for us to lose our passion. The enemy would love for us to lose our commitment to the Lord and miss out on World Conference 2017. He would love for us to miss out on the Stop the Violence campaign that we're having this summer. He would love for us to drop out before he does something big in our lives and in our ministry. He would love for us to give up before that blessing in our family comes about. He would love for us to throw in the towel before that loved one gets saved. He would love for us to throw in that towel before God answers that prayer. He would love for us to give up before God announces the plan and the purpose that He has for our life. Before He places a calling on our life, He wants to disqualify us so that the next chapter in our life is never written. David encouraged himself in the Lord. You know what that means? That means he made a decision. I'm not going out like this. I might be messed up. I might have blown it. People are talking about me. I don't care. I'm making a decision today to get a hold of God, and I'm getting through this trial that I'm going through because God has a plan and a purpose for my life. That's what we need to do tonight. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet all over this place. We need to make a decision. Because the next chapter in our life is yet to be written. And we decide tonight what's written in that chapter. We decide tonight what is going to be the outcome of our tomorrow and our next week, our next month, and our next year. You might be discouraged tonight. You might feel like you're going through the motions. You might feel like, man, what am I even doing here? Well, you need to make up your mind tonight. What are you doing here? Are you here because you want to serve God at any cost? Are you here because you're ready to make a commitment that come hell or high water, you're going to serve God and fulfill the plan and the purpose that He has for your life? You need to decide tonight, are you here because you want a different life? Because you're tired of messing up. You're tired of always doing wrong. You're tired of using dope. You're tired of always going back to the same old lifestyle. Can you make a decision tonight to say no more? The next chapter in my life is going to be written with a plan and the purpose that God has for my life. Bow your heads with me all over this place. You know, the Bible says that eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the great things that God has prepared for us. God took a poor shepherd boy out of the loneliness of the pasture and made him into one of the greatest kings of Israel. That's the power of God. That is what God is able to do in the life of an individual that totally surrenders his heart to Him. There is no limit, brother or sister, young person, on what God is able to do in your life tonight. He is able to do way beyond anything you could ever imagine. Use you in ways that you thought were never possible. Bring blessing upon you like you never dreamed of. And bring a peace upon your life that you only dreamed about. But like David, we have to make a decision. Are we going to run to God? Are we going to run away from God? Are we going to run to those people that can help us that have been through it? Or are we going to run away from them and try to figure it out on our own? You know, this evening, we've all come here today because we have a need in our life. We want more of Jesus. And I believe that even here tonight, there are some that have been discouraged. You've been coming to church and you're just going through the motions. You've lost the passion. You've lost the enthusiasm. You're not the same person you were January the 1st of 2017. A lot of things have happened. Life has happened. Things have happened in your life that have discouraged you, that have made you question God's ability to use your life. I want you to know that that is a tactic from the enemy, because he wants to keep you from the great things that God has for your life. And this can be a very pivotal point in your life, a defining moment in your life tonight, because of one simple decision. And that decision would be saying, Lord, I am going to press in. I'm running to you tonight, Jesus. I don't want to give up, God. I don't want to lose my fire. I don't want to lose my passion. I don't want to lose my reason for serving you, God. Maybe you're here this evening and you've blown it, plain and simple. You've blown it. Maybe this isn't the first time you've blown it. You've blown it a few times. But this night, something's stirring in your heart and you'd say to yourself, you know what, I don't want to blow it anymore. I want to serve God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength. I'm making a decision tonight to run to Jesus. If you're here in this place as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed and you say, you know what, that's me. I need to run to Jesus tonight. I'm not going to run away from the Lord because I want to make it. I want the next chapter in my life to be a good one. I want the next chapter in my life to read that I didn't give up during the hardest time of my life. I want the next chapter in my life to say, you know what, I stood the test and God has blessed me. If that's you, I want you to come from all over this place tonight. Come on, don't let nothing hold you back in your seat. Just run to Jesus tonight and say, here I am, Lord. I need you, Jesus.
Everything I give to you, withholding nothing.
Come on, all over this place, lift your hands and lift your voices to the Lord. Say, here I am, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, there's still room at this altar. If you're still at your seat, I'm going to invite you to come. Just come and run to Jesus tonight.